Welcome, my name is Pastor Scotty Bockhaus, and we thank you for taking some time to listen to some audio recordings from the pulpit of the Riverview Baptist Church. Our desire is to show the Lord high, holy, and lifted up, as well as try to be a blessing to those through the Word of God. Please enjoy this message, and we pray that it will be a blessing to your life. And if you wouldn't mind to take your copy of the Word of God and turn with me to the book of Philippians. The book of Philippians in chapter number 2. The book of Philippians in chapter number 2. We're still progressing towards the end stages of this life and ministry of the Apostle Paul. And we've been traveling with the Apostle Paul through his 3 missionary journeys and then his prison journey to Rome. He was put in prison for 2 years inside of the Judea area and Jerusalem and then Caesarea. Then he was transported to Rome, where he was put in house arrest for 2 years, awaiting trial and awaiting for people to come to accuse him. And during the time he was in house arrest, he was a prisoner, but he was allowed to have people come back and forth. And it was during this time he wrote what we call the prison epistles, which would be the book of Ephesians, the book of Philippians, the book of Colossians, and the book of Philemon. These were all written during the time of Paul in prison inside of Rome. Now, what we've been doing is, as we've been going through the life and ministry of the Apostle Paul, what we're doing is that when we run into a book that he penned, we take time to survey the book and try to find the context of it. Also, when we run into a person, we do a character study, which is what we're going to do tonight, that we're going to take some time to examine a man who is greatly used with the Apostle Paul. And Paul takes some time, takes quite a few verses to speak about him to the church of Philippi. Notice with me, if you don't mind, as we examine this man in the book of Philippians, chapter number 2. The book of Philippians, chapter number 2, and notice with me, starting at verse 25. Philippians 2, starting at verse 25, the Word of God says this: "Yet I supposed it necessary to send you Epaphroditus, my brother, and companion in labor, and fellow soldier, but your messenger, that he ministered to my wants. For he longed after you all, and was full of heaviness, because that ye had heard that he had been sick. For indeed he was sick, nigh unto death, but God had mercy on him, and not on him only, but on me also, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow. I sent him therefore the more carefully, that when you see him again, you may rejoice, and that I may be the less sorrowful. Receive him therefore in the Lord with all gladness, and hold him in such in reputation. For the work of Christ he was nigh unto death, not regarding his life, to supply your lack of service toward me." And if you're in the habit of marking things in your Bible, would you mark a phrase that the Apostle Paul describes about Epaphroditus? And notice with me in verse number 30, where it says, "not regarding his life." And in this, we're going to do a character study of Epaphroditus. If you need to know how to spell Epaphroditus, it's found in verse 25. But Epaphroditus, and then how he's described here by the Apostle Paul, not regarding his life. So Epaphroditus, not regarding his life. And if you don't mind, let's go to the Lord together. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much again for the great victories that we've received lately. It's been amazing to watch you get victory after victory and answer to prayer after answer to prayer. And as we come up to you now, we're just asking that you would once again work in our midst. We could see you working in our church. We could see you working in the hearts of these good folks. And we're asking that you would do it again tonight. Lord, I am very conscious that I need you now. I dare not trust my own. I just ask that you set everything in order. The best I know how, I surrender me to you and ask that you fill me with your precious Spirit. And that once again, Lord, you would do it again. You would fill me with your Spirit and that you would get your own work done through your precious Word. Give me the words to say. Let me say it in the way that you want it to be said. Let everything be done to glorify you and that you would speak to hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. As we examine here, we see this man, Epaphroditus, and as the Apostle Paul describes him, he did not regard his own life. Notice with me as we examine this, Paul's writing to the church of Philippi, and he's encouraging them, and he's speaking about someone that they know very dearly. First of all, I'd like you to see Paul's companion in labor. Paul's companion in labor. Notice with me in verse number 25. Paul is writing and he says, "Yet I supposed it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother, and companion in labor, and fellow soldier." Now notice, Paul is sending back Epaphroditus, and he's going to explain why in here in just a bit. But he says, let me tell you about Epaphroditus. Epaphroditus has been a help. Let me tell you some things about Epaphroditus. First of all, he's my brother. There was a time that Epaphroditus realized that he was a sinner, and because of his sin that he had offended a holy, righteous God, and that he needed a Savior. That Savior was Jesus. And he came to the place where he asked Jesus to be a Savior. And so Epaphroditus is described by the Apostle Paul as my brother. That someone who's accepted Christ as a Savior, they're co-heirs with Jesus. They have the same Heavenly Father now. And Paul is saying, I want to tell you something about Epaphroditus. He's a Christian. He lives like a Christian. He acts like a Christian. I'm glad to call him my brother. He is someone who's saved. Someone who lives for the cause of Christ. Notice that you see a second thing here as he describes Epaphroditus. Notice he says, Epaphroditus, my brother and companion in labor. You see, Epaphroditus was someone who wanted to work together with the Apostle Paul. He was someone who went alongside with him. He was my companion in labor. You know, there's something about people who work together. You know, you want to see a group of people get close? You let them work together. You know, it's one thing to allow people to fellowship together. That gives some closeness. But when you get in the trenches, when you work together, that puts a bond. And so when you have people who work together in soul winning, meaning that they all show up together and they go knocking on doors, there becomes a bond with those people that other people in the church don't enjoy. That when people put themselves in the cause of Christ, there's something to it. That laboring together, that working together, going for that common goal, that they're companions together, and they put a special bond. And so Paul says, let me tell you something about Epaphroditus, that he is my companion in labor. Man, let me tell you about the times that we work together. Let me tell you the stories of him and I working together, that we have a bond. He was my companion in labor. We work together and we strive together, and God used him and he used me, and we have such a bond. This is my friend, that here is my brother, here is my companion in labor. Notice something else he said as he's addressing Paul's companion in labor. He talks about Epaphroditus, my brother and companion, and notice this, a fellow soldier. That we understand that we as Christians, we're in a spiritual warfare. We are in a spiritual battle. And that whether you realize it or not, you are. Well, Epaphroditus realized he was in a spiritual battle. And what happened is that Paul is going alongside with him. They're fighting in the trenches together. They're laboring together. They're building together. They're battling together. They're watching Jesus get victory after victory after victory. Truly, Epaphroditus was someone who saw victory in Jesus in the labors. He saw victory in Jesus in the fights. And yes, there is going to be fights. As long as you're laboring for the Lord, guess what? There's going to be spiritual battles against the world, the flesh, and the devil. They're all going to do everything they can to stop them. But Epaphroditus was someone Paul was sending back, and he says, let me tell you about Epaphroditus. He's my friend. I know he's part of your church, but let me tell you, he's my brother. Let me tell you something about Epaphroditus. He's my companion in labor. Let me tell you about Epaphroditus. He's of my fellow soldier that we fought in the trenches together. That truly this is a man who we've worked together in building and battling. He is my companion in labor. Notice in verse 25, yet I supposed it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother and companion in labor and fellow soldier, but your messenger that he ministered to my wants. Now we understand where Epaphroditus came from. That Epaphroditus was a member of the church of Philippi. And the church of Philippi said, you know, we really ought to do something about the Apostle Paul. He's in prison in Rome, and you know, maybe he needs some help. Maybe he needs some encouragement. We don't know what he needs. We're over here in Philippi. Let's get a volunteer. Who wants to go to Rome and go visit Paul in jail? Epaphroditus said, I'll go. And so they sent Epaphras, and they sent him with different things, some love offerings from the church, some money, some supplies. And so Epaphras shows up to Rome. He starts to visit with the Apostle Paul. He says, here, the church of Philippi greets you, and we have some money for you. We have some goods for you. What do you need? And notice this, he said that he ministered to my wants. You see, it went above and beyond Paul's needs. Epaphras said, preacher, what can I do for you? You let me know and I'll go get it. I know that you're stuck in here and you can't get Chinese food. But if you need me to go to the Chinese food down, you know, we understand that that's not chronologically accurate. But the same idea. Paul, what do you need? You let me know what you want. I'm here for you, preacher. And so what he did is he set himself up to be a blessing to his preacher. Preacher, how can I support you? How can I help you? What can I do to be a blessing? And so the church had sent them, and Epaphras just didn't go home. He just stayed there with the Apostle Paul. He said, preacher, you let me what? You need your shoe shine? I can do that for you, preacher. Preacher, you need a partner to go soul winning? I'll go with you. Preacher, what do you need? And I'm there for you. You just let me know, preacher. I'm available. You let me know, preacher. I want to work with you. You just tell me what to do. You need me to wash windows? I'll wash windows. You need me to scrub toilets? I'll scrub toilets. Preacher, you let me know what you need, and I'll be there for you. And so Paul is saying, thank you so much for sending me Epaphras. He's become a blessing. He has become with me. He's been a brother. Let me tell you, he's been a companion in labor. Let me tell you about Epaphras. He's been such a blessing to me. He's been a fellow soldier. And you sent him to me. I've got to send him back. But he's been a great blessing. He's been there to minister to my wants. Notice, if you don't mind, we saw the first thing, Paul's companion in labor. But there's a second thing I'd like to show you in this text here, is that he was fully given to labor. He was fully given to labor. Notice with me in verse 26, we see something about Epaphras. Verse 26, for he, that's Epaphras, longed after you all and was full of heaviness. So something happened to Epaphras, that is, he's thinking about his home church. He's full of heaviness. He's full of sorrow. What's going on? He was full of heaviness because that ye had heard that he had been sick. And so he said, Epaphras is sad because you heard that he's sick. That you guys heard Epaphras. Do you hear about Epaphras? He's not doing well. He's sick. And now he's brokenhearted because he's heard that he's sick. So Paul explains what's going on. Verse 27. He says, for indeed he was sick. How sick was he? He was nigh unto death. Yes, Epaphras was sick. He was about ready to die. He was on death's edge. He was very sick indeed. But notice this, but God had mercy on him, and not him only, but also on me, lest I should sorrow upon sorrow. He says, what happened is that Epaphras, he was so devoted to the work of Christ that he worked himself literally almost to death. He was so excited about the things of the Lord. He was so excited about the life in Christ. He was so excited to be working next to the Apostle Paul that he literally said, Paul, what do you need? You need me to go knock doors? Hey, you need me to go chase down those people and give them a shot? You let me know what I can do, preacher. And he was on fire. He was excited about it. Whatever Paul needed, he was there. He anticipated Paul's needs. And he got to the place where he was working and working and working so much that he almost worked himself to the grave. And the Apostle Paul, he's brokenhearted about it. He said, oh man, wasn't trying to kill him working him that hard. He was just asking how he could be a blessing. And I've given one thing and I trusted him. He was my fellow laborer. He was my fellow soldier. And next thing you know, he's almost dead because we worked him so hard. And he says, what's worse is you guys heard about it. Now he's sorry that you guys are worrying about him. And he's not worrying about himself. He's just upset that he got sick. He still wants to work. I have to send him home because otherwise he is going to work himself to death. He's just so excited for him. But I have to send him back lest I should sorrow upon sorrow. I'm already sorry that that he's worked himself so hard. Man, it'd be worse if he died because he was working so much. Notice with me. So he's talking about Epaphras, that he had fully given himself to labor. He had worked so hard that his health failed. But you want to know something? Epaphras loved it. Epaphras was glad. He wasn't mad at the preacher. He was fully given to Christ. preacher, whatever I can do. Man, you just let me know and I'll do this. You let me know and I'll do this. You let me know. Can I take care of this for you? Can I do this for you? And he did so much and he didn't complain. He was just trying to work. It wasn't that Paul's slave drove him. He just kept coming back for more. Paul, what can I do? Paul, what can I do? Paul, what can I do? Now, at this time, let's take a pause. We're describing Epaphroditus. And Paul's already given him a glowing recommendation. He's my brother. He's my companion in labor. He's my fellow soldier. He's someone I trusted. He's someone I worked with. He's someone I labored with. He's someone I fought in the battles with. And God has gotten great victories. This is a man who came to me to minister to my wants. And he's taking care of me. And he's worked. And he's worked. And he's worked. And he's about ready to work himself to death. And I have to send him home. Now, what are you thinking when this says? Are you thinking, man, Epaphroditus is crazy? Epaphroditus, why would someone do that? Why would someone work themselves? I mean, don't you know you're supposed to take care of yourself? Don't you take care of this? Why would you allow yourself to happen like that? Some people would like to criticize Paul and say, Paul, didn't you recognize what's going on? Well, you know, Epaphroditus just loved the Lord so much. He not regarded his own life. He was willing to give his entire life for the gospel's sake. He was willing to give his entire life, health and strength to the Lord. However I can do to serve the Lord, God, it's your health, it's your life, it's your strength, it's not mine. If you want to use it up, God, that's your business. I'm giving it to you. And so whatever I can do, let me know. So we see this. We see Paul's companion in labor. We see that Epaphroditus, he was fully given to the labor. But I want to show you one other thing here. It says, for your lack of labor. For your lack of labor. Verse 28, the Apostle Paul continues on. He says, I sent him, so Paul sent Epaphroditus, therefore the more carefully, that when you see him again, you may rejoice, and that I may be a little less sorrowful. He says, I'm sorry, I've got to send Epaphroditus back. And when you get him back, hey, you got a gold mine. When you get Epaphroditus back, you got someone who's going to help you in the church. This is someone who's fired up, who knows what he's doing. It's going to be a blessing. Paul says, as for me, I'm going to be less sorrowful because if he's back home, he's not going to work himself to death for me. But he's going to be a great help to you. But notice as he brings this to a twist in verse 30. In verse 28, let's go back there. He says, receive them, verse 28, I sent him therefore the more carefully that when you see him again, you may rejoice and that I may be less sorrowful. And he says, now receive him therefore in the Lord with all gladness and hold such in reputation. That word reputation carries the idea of high esteem. So when I'm sending Epaphroditus back and I want you to treat this man with respect. I want you to treat this man with high regard. This is someone who wants to labor for the Lord. He says, I don't want you to yell at Epaphroditus and say, Epaphroditus, what are you doing? Don't you understand you're not supposed to work that way? I don't want you to say, Epaphroditus, you got to slow down. You just can't do all that for the Lord. He says, I don't want you to do that at all. I want you to hold this guy in high regard. I want you to hold him in respect. He says, you want to know why? Verse 30. Because for the work of Christ, he was nigh unto death, not regarding his life. He says, I want you to hold him in high regard because he has not given himself. He's not given his life to make riches. He's not given his life to have better houses or better lands. He has not given his life to have better cars or a better reputation. He's given his life for Christ's sake. He's given his life for the gospel's sake. He's given his life to follow the Lord, whatever he's given. I want you to hold him in high regard because he's literally said, my life for you, Jesus, whatever you want to do with it, you do it. That Epaphroditus has given his life to the Lord. And it's not his life anymore. It's Christ's life. And so Paul has said, I'm sending him back. And I want you to hold him in high regard because this is a man who's given his life for the Lord. Now notice this, the end of verse 30. He says, because for the work of Christ, he was nigh unto death, not regarding his life. Notice this. Why did he do this? To supply your lack of service toward me. He says, I'm sending Epaphroditus back and I want you to hold him in high regard. That this is a guy who didn't regard his own life. This isn't a guy who tried to hold back. This is a guy who gave it all for the Lord. Now you look at a guy and says, why would someone work themselves to death? Why would they work so hard? Why are they knocking doors? Why are they doing that? Why are they always trying to do something around the church? Why are they just trying to do more and more and more? You want to know why? Because no one else is doing it. No one else is doing it. Do you understand that the way that God designed it to be is that everyone does their own thing, a place. Everyone has their own responsibility. And if we all do the work, the job gets done. You see, God has desired to use multiplication and not addition. Let's give an example. A lot of people have the idea that the pastor's job is to go knock on doors and do all that. That's the pastor's job. You understand that's not the pastor's job. But because people think it's the pastor's job, they say, well, that's why we got a pastor in the first place. He's supposed to invite people to church. He's supposed to bring it in. He's supposed to preach the messages. And we're supposed to sit in the pews. And when new people come in, we shake their hand and say, glad to see you. But we don't do that ourselves. Do you understand that one person can only do so much? One person can only do so much. What would happen? We have a revival service tomorrow, so let's make it applicable. What would happen if you had worked hard to bring one person in for the revival service? Just one. But everyone brought one person. We would double what we'd have right now. Isn't it reasonable that each of us could bring one person? Isn't there enough lost people where you live at that you couldn't find one person to bring with you? One person that you met in the grocery store. One person that you've been leaving tracks with over at the gas station. One person from work. One person who lives in your neighborhood. One person who delivers your mail. One person somewhere. Don't you know one person? Somewhere? Anywhere? Well, instead of one person trying to get everyone in here, what if we all brought one person? Wouldn't that be a lot less strain on one person or a group of people? You understand, they do statistics on such thing, and they say 20% of the church does 80% of the work. That means if you have a church of 100, 20 people do all the work of the church. Think about that. If you have a church of 10, two people, statistically, do all the work of the church. You understand that if we all did our part, that the work could be done. So why do you have someone like Epaphroditus who comes up and says, preacher, what can I do? And he works himself to death. Paul says, because no one else would do it. No one else would do it. I'm sending him back because why did he do this? Because of your lack of service to me. The lack of service toward me. Because no one else is doing it. Praise the Lord. We should all get fired up. We should all desire to be Epaphroditus and say, what can I do? What can I do? What can I do? You know, I'd almost fall over and faint if I had a line of people that said, preacher, what can I do? What can I do? What can I do? There's a list. There's visits to be made. There's things to be done around the church. There's little things to do. There's prayers to be made. There's a lot of stuff to be done. There's enough work for everyone to get a load. Right? So it shouldn't rely on just one or two people. Someone says, well, I'm just too busy. Well, what are you giving your life to? You know what Epaphroditus? He said, I gave my life to Christ. And that I'm taking advantage of the opportunities. Now, I'm not saying we're supposed to quit our jobs and stuff. But isn't there people at work that you can invite? And I'm not saying to work ourselves to death. If you invite one person and you beg them. And I meant not just, hey, will you come to church with me? No. Okay, thanks. I meant you go after them. You need to be my guest. I'm not taking no for an answer. I'll get you a bologna sandwich after service. You come and be my guest. Do something. Can we all beg and plead and not even give them a choice? You're coming with me tomorrow. What would it take for you to come with me? Couldn't we all do that? Now, is that labor intensive? Would that break people? Would that put people in the hospital to get concentrate on one person and to beg and to plead and to work and to pray for that one person to come? Now, We got a revival service and it's a special service, but would it be unreasonable if each of us every week concentrated on one person and called them and visited them and did what we could to bring them in? Would that be unreasonable? Would that make it so that way the work is spread out and God is still growing and still seeing people saved and we're all enjoying and laboring together? Well, that's how God designed it. But what we have here is 20% of people doing 80% of the work. That Epaphras said, hey, it needs to be done. And no one else is doing it. So Paul, what can I do? Can I do this? Can I do this? Can I do this? The reason why he worked himself to death is because there was no one else to do the stuff and it needed to be done. And Paul is saying, all right, I'm sending him back. You need to hold him in high regard because this is someone who's a blessing. This is someone who's going to work. And if you take care of him, he'll continue to work. But if he works himself to death, it's because you're not working either. And you need to work. And so Paul is sending him, and he's spending this time to talk about Epaphras. That Epaphras, he's my brother. He's my companion in labor. He's my fellow soldier. But he worked himself to death. And I'm sending him back. I need him to rest. I don't need him to die. But he's going to be a great blessing to you. But don't let him work himself to death. You need to find what you are to do and go alongside with it. Everyone, if we do our part, the work is spread out, right? Many hands make light work. Every single one of us can do something. Every single one of us. You say, preacher, I can't do much. Can you pray? Every single one of us can pray. You know, one of the things I love about retirement homes is they have nothing but time. They may not be able to knock on 1,000 doors. They may not be able to contribute and give above and beyond to the church. But one thing they can do is pray. And you know, prayer is one of the most labor-intensive, important things that happen in a church. Everyone could do something. To take a prayer list and say, I'm going to just pray myself. And I'm going to make it, this is my thing. This is how I can help. There's plenty of things to do. And in a service for us to continue to go forward, it can't be dependent upon one man. Everyone does their part, and God will do something amazing. If I could just give one last historical illustration. That Charles Spurgeon was known as the Prince of Preachers. He is still today, even though he's been dead for over 100 years, today he is the most bought pastor writing a book. His books are the most bought of any other preacher still today. He outsells any of the well-known preachers, Charles Spurgeon. Charles Spurgeon preached at the latter part of the 1800s in Victorian England, in London, England, the Metropolitan Tabernacle. Now, when they called him to be the pastor, the church people, because of some things went on, he suffered through depression, he was not physically fit, his wife had health issues as well. When they called him to be the pastor, they said, we know that our pastor can't do the work, so we're going to go and do the work with him. And we're not going to let our pastor's health fail. We're going to go and work with him. And you know what happened? God blessed the London Metropolitan Tabernacle, not because of Charles Spurgeon, but because the church wanted to work. And that's how the church was supposed to operate, that everyone did their part. And it worked. And it was amazing. You know what happened is that Charles Spurgeon, he would preach a message on Sunday morning. And during the Sunday morning, people took notes. And that week, 3,000 people took that Sunday morning message and preached it all throughout London. At their workplaces, at missions all throughout London, at wherever else. And the message spread. People heard about it. What would happen if we took one of our Sunday school lessons? We're going through the Treasures of Darkness right now. And you took your Sunday school lesson and taught it to someone at work, taught it to someone nearby, and said, hey, let's just have a Bible study. Let me just have 30 minutes with you, and let me try to teach you some of the Bible, something that'll be a blessing. Don't you think God could bless that? Don't you think God could do something with that? You understand, there's a lot of things to be done. What it takes is people to make a decision that I'm going to do something, that I'm not going to just hold my place. You understand, Christianity is not a spectator sport. Everyone has something to do. And there's plenty of things to do. We just need to find our role and do it. And if we all do the work, God will bless and it will work and amazing things will happen because we have a great God. So we see Epaphroditus here, not regarding his life, that he is working, and praise the Lord for an Epaphroditus who says, "Preacher, what can I do? Preacher, what can I do? Preacher, what can I do?" But how much better would it be to have a whole church that said, "Let's do our part. Let's do our part." So that way, just one or two people don't have to carry the whole load. Let's do our part. So let me ask you this. What is your part? What is it that you can do? Let's make it practical. Who can you invite tomorrow for the revival meeting? Who can you beg? Who can you plead? Who can you pray for? Who can you offer a bologna sandwich to get them to come? Who can you invite this week and say, "You need to come and hear this preacher. You need to come and be my guest. You need to come. I'll drive you. I'll lead you there. I'll give you a ride. Whatever you need, you come and be my guest." Who is it? I want you to come up with a name. I want you to think about, and I want you to go after them. I want you to beg them. I want you to call them up. I want you to bother them and say, "Be my guest. Be my guest." And what would happen tomorrow night if all of us in this room here brought one person? Wouldn't that be great? If every single one of us brought someone, man, it would be good. We could all do one. And then Sunday, you know what? We should gun for Sunday. Can every one of us beg and plead and be disappointed if our friend does not show up on Sunday? And then the next Sunday, do everything we can to work on one person, just one, and to get them to be there and put everything into it. And then if they don't show up, we'll be disappointed. But expect them to come instead of be surprised when we see our friends come. How many of you feel like that? "Oh, yay, they showed up. We didn't know if they're showing up or not." We should be excited and expecting them because we put so much prayer and labor and work into it. Man, we'd be grown out of building in no time, wouldn't we? And wouldn't that be a blessing? Wouldn't that be a blessing? Thank you for listening to this audio message. This is Pastor Scotty Bockhaus, and I encourage you to take this information that you just received and make a specific decision to follow after the Lord. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, let me beg you to take the time to receive Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. If you are saved, I encourage you to make a decision in your life to help you get closer with the Lord. If there's anything specific we can do to be a blessing or to pray for you, we encourage you. Look us up on the internet at riverviewbc.com. Once again, that's riverviewbc.com. Or if you would prefer to call us, you can give us a call at area code 920-530-6308. Once again, that number is 920-530-6308. If there's anything we can do to be a blessing or an encouragement to you, please let us know. We would love to make ourselves available. Thank you.